Last week, we started the series on discipleship. The topic that was dealt with last week was the Word of God. And today, we will be taking a deep dive into another topic, and that is serving. What does it mean to serve? To serve means to be used to meet other people's needs. And so if you go to every organization, there is always the customer service, customer relations. And the essence of that is to be able to gauge the standard of service they render to their customers. And whenever you have been served, you even see the customer service go to others and say, please, can you complete a customer survey? And they encourage you to give them 10 out of 10, isn't it? But where the service we receive is not up to the standard we expect, what do? We lodge our complaints. This is not what is expected. And you will see in all these cases, we are being served just as the same way we serve others. The police too are serving us. We are being served. But as a disciple of Christ, what does it mean to serve? Like every organization, there is a mission statement that tells you the reason for their existence. And in Mark 10:45, thank you, Jemima, for doing a very good reading there. Mark 10:45, Jesus Christ also told us his mission statement. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, I have not come to be served, but to serve you, and to give my life as a ransom. As disciples, that is, learners of Christ, those who want to be like Christ, that should be our own mission statement too. Not to be served, but to serve. And to give our life as a ransom. I'm sure immediately I said that, somebody will say, I want us to think about serving. What is your motive for serving as a disciple of Christ? Is it to be seen? Or to serve the interest of some people? Or your own selfish interest? What is your motive for serving? This morning, I'm going to give you four requirements needed before you can serve efficiently and effectively as a disciple of Christ. In Matthew 22, 36 to 40, an expert in law went to Jesus and asked him, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? Everywhere was quiet. Moses was given 10, but here you come out of the 10, what is the greatest? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And the second is like this, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the question, how do you love God that you have not seen? How do you love God that you have never seen? Listen to the another part of the Bible, 1 John 4:20. 1 John 4:20 answers that. It says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So it means to love God, you need to love your brother and your sisters, irrespective of where they are from. Hold on to that. Again, in Matthew 25, 36 to 40. Matthew 25, 36 to 40. Jesus was giving his disciples another set of teaching. And he got to the point of the final judgment. And he said, there will be a group on the left and another group on the right. And he said this to them, for when I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous said, hold on there, God. When did we see you, God, naked, hungry, thirsty? When did we? And Jesus answered again, inasmuch, in verse 40, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me. This therefore means something. Let me bring the two together now. To love God is evidenced in the way you love your neighbor. To serve God is also lived out in the way you serve one another. Remember, I started. Serving is to be used to meet the need of others. Therefore, the first requirement, if you must serve God, is to love God. You cannot serve God without loving God. And not only loving God, you cannot love God without loving one another. So the first two requirements to serving is love God, love one another. If you don't have love, remember 1 Corinthians 13. He said all of these things. If I speak in tongues, if I do this, if I do that, if I did this, and I have no love, I'm just like a loud cymbal. And he says of these three, hope, faith, love. What is the greatest? Love. God is love. You cannot serve without love. What is the third one? Jesus made himself available. The third condition to serving is your availability. Your availability. Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give. He made himself available, ready to go onto the cross and to die. Availability. And the fourth condition, which you need to know to be a disciple that serves God, is serving God is going to take you out of your comfort zone. So if you think you want to serve God when it is convenient and when it is comfortable, then you are not imitating Christ. Your availability, the love you have for God, which is displayed in the way you love one another. And the fourth one, you must be ready to go out of your comfort zone. Then the question is, what then do we need? What can I use to serve God? What can I use to serve God? That is a question. And I'm going to answer that question with another question. What is it that you have that it has not come from God? Your life is a gift, isn't it? Bread of life. Let the owner take it away now. What do we become? A dead person. Your money, remember, it is he who giveth power to make wealth. Your talent is God that has given you. Your skills is God that has given you. What is it that you have that it is not God who has given you? Philippians 1:1. Look at how Apostle Paul introduced himself to the church in Philippi, which happened to be the first church he established. He said, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. My elementary Greek, the word servant that was used there, is not a perfect fit. Because the Greek that I was taught only just a few months ago said that word should be doulos. And doulos means slave. A slave is totally sold out to his master. So Apostle Paul is indirectly saying, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. So if we come back, what do we need? How can we serve God? Your total life. Your life on daily basis is an offering unto God. Your money, your talent, your skills, the words that come out of your mouth, the way you use other people's properties, everything that has to do with you in totality is an offering unto God, and it must be used to serve God. Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, brother, present your body as a living sacrifice. Your life is to be presented to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. So it's not that, God, this part of my life, let me deal with that. You deal with this. No. This money, oh no, God. Leave me with my money. Don't worry. Everything that is you is to be used to serve God. Where can you serve God? The first place is your home. Charity begins from home. 1 Timothy 5 tells us about how to relate with older men, older women, young men, young women. And the verse 1 says, it ends with this, with purity. No hidden agenda. Charity begins at home. How do you serve your parents? How do you serve your brothers and sisters? You cannot give what you don't have. You cannot be an angel on the street, but you are something else at home. Complete devil. We cannot deceive God. Serving of God starts from home. And when you leave your home, it goes to the community. How do you serve your brothers, sisters, those people you meet on the road? Serving God can be done at work, on the streets, and even in the church. You should be free to come to church to use anything God has given you to praise God. He gives it unto you. He is the owner. If actually he owns your life, what then are you holding back? Why are you holding back? In fact, the Bible and church history makes us to understand that the exponential increase experienced in the first church was not because they were good speakers. No. It is because when people see, even unbelievers see, the type of love, the type of the relationship that exists, no rich, no poor, you cannot even differentiate. What do? They begin to join them. Rumford Baptist Church. If we are ready to serve God with everything that we have, we will change every council. And we will move from every and move to other boroughs. That is the impact of Holy Spirit being in us and working within us. But we must be ready to release everything that we have and not hold on to anything. Serving God. We read of the miracle Jesus did. He fed 5,000 men. But how did that miracle come to be? The unnamed young boy that his mother packed his packed lunch. Oh, today I'm going to follow Jesus. Okay, have your packed lunch. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Packed it together in the packing bag and follow Jesus. But when he got to that point that Jesus needs it, the young boy, even if we read that passage very well, the adjective they gave to that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, you know what they said? We have ordinary. You know, at times, what God has given you to, some people will call it ordinary. And because you are, they said it is ordinary, you too say, well, anyway, they said it is ordinary. I'm not going to do it again. You're missing it. Because when you are serving God, negative words will come. I remember when we wanted to get married, and we went for, what do we call it now? Counseling. The deacon said, the two of you are the main players. Every other person, they are spectators. They will just be able to say, hey, you know, when your team is doing well, Arsenal fans, eh? And they'll be like, yesterday, they scored 5. And then you see, All other spectators, that's what they do. You are the main players. What others say, measure it with the word of God. Does it make sense? If it does not, bin it. Let the word of God be the standard with which you do your things. That boy, ordinarily, a boy will not release his food. Let's be sincere. He will not release his food. If he releases it and nothing comes back, it means he's going to go hungry for the whole day. But he released it. And what happened thereafter? It was used to feed over 5,000 people. Your service, do you know how many souls that are attached to it? Do you know how many souls attached to the service? That thing you call ordinary serving tea, ordinary serving water, ordinary being a steward, or whatever thing you do, you call it ordinary. But do you know? I am in this church till today because of, is it John Stannard? He has left now. Is it John? The John that left? John Brown. When we started coming to this church, always meeting us there at the entrance with smiles. And that encouraged us to be coming. Your smile, the words of encouragement you give, picking up a phone to call. Oh, we have not seen Jan in church today. Jan, are you okay? Those little things, just like Tesco says this, every little helps. Matter. Serving God. Joshua called the entire Israelites. He said, let us take a decision today. Who do you want to serve? But he took a decision. As for me, and we will do what? Is that your own too? Is that what you are saying too? As for me and my household, we will serve God. Be it on the street, be it at work, be it in the home, we will serve God. You know, we've read so much about the Bible, media. Here is this woman, a British nurse by name Edith Cavell. I'm just going to read something for you. She was celebrated for treating wounded soldiers from both sides without discrimination, and for covertly helping some 200 Allied soldiers escape from German-occupied Belgium and return to service. Because she allowed the 200 soldiers to escape, she was court-martialed and was sentenced to death. Despite every pressure to save her life, she was executed. And the night before her execution, you know what she said? Patriotism is not enough. I must have no hatred or bitterness towards anyone. And she was quoted saying, I can't stop while there are lives to be saved. I cannot stop while there are lives to be saved. Is that your own truth? Is that your own statement too? Do you want to say, I can't stop while there are lives to be saved. As disciples of Christ, we need to take the decision. Do you want to continue to sit on the fence? Or you want to use your life to serve God? When our own race here is done, what will people say? If you meet your God, will he say, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was in prison, you visited me." Would that be said to you? Let's bow down our heads and reflect. How available are you when it comes to things of God? Or what you say is just let them do it. They've been doing it. I don't have time. I'm busy. I'm running after Panzer Stalin. There will be an end to Panzer Stalin one day. Your gift, your money, your life, they are all from God. Will you serve God with everything that is you? Father Lord, we come this morning knowing fully well that you love us so much. You have given your all. But in some cases, we have held back. Forgive us, O Lord. Help us to live our life as a daily offering unto you, giving you everything that is us. Help us to surrender totally and to serve you with our total being. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen.